Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Radio.
Radio.
Yip, 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 yip.
Radio. Radio.
Welcome to Back on the Beat, local and national political talk from the man who's covered it all for decades. Here's your host, Dick Kaye.
Here he is again, Mike Novak. Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees, and by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, and by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. He's the best thing to happen to the environment since the solar-powered hamster wheel. Great. Now he's putting hamsters out of business. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. Are there any fathers in the room here? I'm just taking a quick poll.
Nope.
Well, wait a second.
Radio.
Radio.
Little did we know how much Jim Henson was truly brainwashing us.
Fantastic, Jim Henson.
I was already
into it by then. It was too late. and of course, all the folks who were listening this morning and thought they tuned in to Back on the Beat. sorry about that. That was yesterday. You missed it. But you can go to Doogie's Place and you can catch the podcast on that. Just as you can catch the podcast on the Mike Novak Show any time of day or night. You can get it from iTunes. You can go to my website and download it and or just listen to it online. We're not doing a particular tribute to Father's Day today because there's no dads in the room. Nope. But that's okay. I wish all the dads out there. I have to say one thing though. Coming in, listening to Our Town with Mike Sanders, who is a dad, and from all indications, from what I've seen him with his kids. He's a great dad. He's a no nonsense kind of dad.
Oh yes, I have heard. He's a former Marine. So,
yeah, I know.
But I think once you're a Marine, you're always a Marine. So it's gonna ebb out somewhere.
And it comes in raising your kids, yeah.
It helps.
But I'm listening to the president's weekly address, and here's Barack Obama, who comes on the air every, some places put it on Saturday. We run it on Saturday or Sunday morning during Our Town. And I'm and as I'm listening to it, I'm just imagining all the right wingers out there just screaming at the radio, going, "Kenyon, Kenyon, Kenyon!" But Barack Obama's talking about
Mike Sanders sighting right there.
Yeah, I think he liked that one.
He had a smile.
But here's Barack Obama talking about his dad who left the family when Barack was two. Mr. Obama was two. And the president is saying, you know, if my dad had stuck around, there's no telling what I could have done. Or something like to that effect. And I'm thinking,
I'm like,
what?
You did just fine.
No, I'm thinking, what? You would have turned out to be God if your dad had actually stuck around?
Well, it makes a difference. Speaking as a single parent, the, you know,
on the other hand, he might not have been president. Well, you know, it's possible the whole presidency is overcompensation. No. I'm serious. A boy who's doesn't have his dad and is trying, you know, is makes up for another. We don't know how our lives change because of circumstances, and it's quite possible, I think, that the president might have gone in a different direction. He might not be president if his dad had stuck around. So
that's very true. That's very true. It might not be.
Yeah,
I don't know. Barack Obama.
But so there you go. Happy Father's Day to you.
Chew
too.
On that one, folks.
Yeah, really. He might
don't
not.
We talk
you know,
about flowers on this show.
And if his dad had stuck around, he might not have turned out to be Kenyon. So chew on that, right wingers.
Oh boy.
I know.
Right.
Oh, that's nasty.
Yeah. No, but sincerely, to all the good, wonderful fathers out there, and I know quite a few, happy, happy Father's Day.
Yeah, really. Have a good time. But I think Mike Sanders made a good point that, you know, on Dad's Day, who has to arrange things? Dad. Dad's driving and Dad's taking care of stuff. And but they are easy. Julia Hsu was talking about what they're doing for her dad, and they're gonna take him to see Green Lantern and then watch the U.S. Open on television. Order a pizza. Dads are easy.
We're barbecuing ribs, giving him his presents, and, yeah, pulling the TV out into the backyard so he can watch whatever he wants.
On the other hand, dads are easy for Father's Day. They're impossible for birthdays and Christmas.
Why do you say that?
Because I never knew what to get my dad. I had no idea, ever.
See, I'm the mini version of my father in so many ways, so I've always known what to get my dad.
Maybe
you know.
It's because my dad and I were so different.
Yeah, see?
It's like, Dad, can I get you a Howard Zinn's History of the United States? Huh?
Oh, if I give my dad World War II and Civil War documentaries, he's just happy. Isn't that true for all men? Don't they like that stuff? Like war documentaries.
No,
and
not
stuff.
All, man. You know, you got to understand. Well, it's true.
Cigars.
Not all men do, but you know, my dad would watch war films, and he was in World War II, and I don't know whether he got pleasure out of them. You know, there was a connection there, and for the guys who have gone through that, and whether it's World War II or Vietnam or Korea or Iraq. Or Afghanistan, you know, there's a connection, but do you really want to relive that? Do you really want to go back to that?
Well, all I know is my father can watch the documentaries on the History Channel till the cows come home.
And I was thinking
one
more thing about my dad, who is not a gardener, by the way.
No. You already said you were so different. I can imagine he's doing what with what?
Yeah, not a gardener. Not a particular environmentalist. But he had a rough life, and looking at the way the economy is now, and again relating to some of the things Mike said on his show, dads have it tough if they're the breadwinner for the family, especially in this economy. And I remember, I grew up in the Detroit area, and my dad was a draftsman, and he would design parts. He would design machines rather that would test automobile parts, and I'm thinking, how is that even possible? How does somebody do that? And he would do it with a slide rule. Mm-hmm. And he would come up with these incredibly meticulous blueprints. I don't have a single one left. And that's one of the saddest things of my life, because I would love to have one of those suckers framed. Who knows where they are. and whether any of them exist anymore. But then when the recession would hit, and invariably there would be recessions, and not as deep as the one we're experiencing now, but because he was connected to the auto industry, the ripple effect would cause a little tool and dies to lay off, and my dad would be out of work, and he'd be looking for a job, and then he would drive a truck, or he would do something else. One time, I remember, he taught auto driver's training. Driver's Ed.
Driver's Ed?
Yeah. He one of the professional driver's eds, not through a school. And I'm thinking, this is not the guy you want teaching driver's ed. You know, I could see my dad sitting next to somebody going, what are you doing? I said, left. Stop the car. Stop the car. You don't know how to stop the car? Let me turn it. Give me the wheel.
Yeah.
So
uphill in the snow, both ways to school, barefoot.
So that's my tribute to my dad. Oh, dear. And he's rolling his grave right now, too.
He'd expect nothing less. Come on.
You know what?
He's like, he's just patting the black sheep on the head. They're there, son.
No, and the truth of the matter is one, and this is the final word on this, because then we're going to move on to our first guest. The final word on this is my brother and I were my dad's harpies, okay? We were his tormentors. And one day I remember this so well. It was a May where there were about 10 80-degree days in a row. And my dad was putting in the swimming pool in the backyard, the above ground. Swimming pool, you know, everybody had an above ground swimming pool, including my parents. And towards the end, that thing was a danger. That was a scary, scary device. I mean, you could slice your arm off on the aluminum stuff that, I mean, when they made them then, they didn't think about safety, you know, and the boards, they had like wood boards on the side that would rot through. I mean, just really bad stuff, bad juju. But we're digging this thing in, and it's hot, and we're sweaty, and my brother and I are just going on and on and on, and just my dad's being really patient and really patient, and then finally he exploded, and he looked at me, and he said, I refuse to be your straight man. So that is the one quote from my dad that has stuck with me through my whole life. And it's probably a good thing that I don't have children, because I'd be yelling that at my children.
Oh, when you catch yourself in a dad moment when you're disciplining your child, it's very sobering. It's very sobering.
Like, when you turned into your dad.
Oh, my God. Like, yeah, same thing. Patient, 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 and then just Irish eruption. And, yeah, I was like, and then I caught myself in the middle going, you sound just like your father. And I'm like, oh, and like I wilted into the corner and, you know, rocked myself.
There you go. Well, why don't you grab that phone call? And we'll, when we come back from this, whoop, did we lose our phone call?
Just as I answered.
Hey, whoever you were calling, especially if you had a dad story, feel free to call
yes.
back. By the way, 773-838-9278. We're going to start off today with Janice Kieft, who is with the National Garden Bureau, and we started talking about hardiness zones and heat zones last week with Rick DeMaio and Scott Jameson called in, and we had a caller who had asked about what trees are planting as the climate change is affecting the temperatures in our area. Well, we've got the official national the USDA hardiness zone maps. And if you go to my website, mikenovak.net, you can see this and what zones we're in and that sort of thing. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. And then we're going to drag Rick DeMaio into the conversation because, as we know, he is the voice of reason and science. Uh-oh. I've got to find... Okay, I'll find my science clip here. But as we know, Rick DeMaio represents everything that is good about science and tells us, he keeps us on the straight and narrow, which is one of the things that I love about Rick DeMaio.
Science.
Yes, he is the science guy. And so we'll discuss the hardiness zones. And then in the second hour, we have Sydney Barton and Michael Thompson from Chicago Honey Co-op. This is an amazing apiary on the west side of Chicago. And they're having their big summer solstice celebration next Friday. And if you got questions about beekeeping, this might be a time to call in, 773-838-9278 in the second hour. If you got questions about which plants grow in which zones, you can do that in just a second. So hang on. Now, you want to do something good for your lawn? I'm going to surprise you here. How about adding some cotton burr compost? I'm talking about Nature's Blend with Alfalfa and Humate by Back to Nature Compost. Nature's Blend with Alfalfa and Humate is a balanced blend of composted cotton burrs, composted cattle manure, alfalfa, and Humate. Cotton burrs and cattle manure, besides their value as organic fertilizers, provide an important food source for beneficial soil organisms. And as I always say, it's the biology, stupid. Alfalfa is high in nitrogen, and Humate is an important source of humic acid and micronutrients. It activates beneficial soil organisms. Nature's Blend with Alfalfa and Humate works great as a top dressing or soil amendment. And you're feeding your soil, which feeds your lawn. Dr. Wally at Pesci's and I both love Back to Nature products, so give them a try. Nature's Blend with Alfalfa and Humate is available at Countryside Garden Center in Crystal Lake, Paradigm Gardens in Lake Geneva, and Gethsemane Garden Center in Chicago. Remember, life doesn't start with the seed. It starts with the soil. Back to Nature Compost.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees and Illinois Extension. Sometimes trees are unhappy, not because of insects or diseases, and that's where everybody goes with it, but because of other factors. A recent Extension Home, Yard, and Garden Pest newsletter notes that among the things that can stress trees are improper planting, wrong planting zone, non-native plant species, incorrect soil type, compaction, soil pH too high or low, inadequate fertility, too much shade or sun, too wet or dry, crowded planting, construction after planting, or just not suitable for an urban setting. Woo. But it's true. You know, we're always looking for that bug. Oh, yeah, the bug did my tree in. Sometimes it's not the case. Sometimes you did the tree in because you didn't pay attention to these various situations. There's a lot that can go wrong, even without insects and diseases, so the next time you think something can be solved by reaching for a spray can or a load of fertilizer, think about whether your tree is in, well, it's the right plant in the right place, and invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look to get their opinion. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. Yeah, that's a way to wake up on a Sunday morning. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We are going to go to... Well, that's always line one, isn't it? It's just scary. Okay, line one! And bring in Janice Kieft, who is with the National Garden Bureau, and she's Colorado State Organic. She's on the Colorado State Organic Advisory Board. How are you doing, Janice?
Oh, well, it's a great morning here in Colorado.
Oh, where are you in Colorado?
Kind of north of Denver and east of Boulder.
And it's a good place? What's the temps like? What's the weather like today?
Well, right now there's some clouds, and it's in the 50s, kind of getting close to 60. We're expecting some much-needed rain later on this afternoon.
Oh, okay. How's the weather been so far this spring?
Well, we've had a very cool spring. It's also been very dry. They've had plenty of snow. You may have heard about record snowfall in the mountains. As a matter of fact, they're still skiing in some of the resorts.
Really?
Really. And there are a couple resorts that expect to have skiers actually through the 4th of July this year. So there's a lot of snow on the mountains, but it's been very dry here.
Do you think about that when you write about hardiness zone maps and that sort of thing?
Definitely. Well, the hardiness zones, that's just one of the tools that you use in order to select plants that will grow well in your garden. I was looking at the hardiness map, and both Denver and Chicago are in the same zone, zone 5. However, you think of Chicago's climate in the summer, you're hot and humid, and in the Denver area, it's hot, but it's very dry. So those are two very different climates, even though they're in the same zone.
Yeah, that is an interesting point, because the hardiness zone, there's a lot of things that aren't covered by it. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's why you can't go just by hardiness zones when you're selecting plants. There are a lot of other different factors that go into selecting plants. There's another map called the heat zone, which is probably more appropriate in the summertime, and that is kind of like the hardiness, except instead of telling you how cold temperatures plants will survive, it tells you the heat tolerance of various plants.
Well, let's back up just a second, because I talk about zones on the show, and the people who listen to this program run the gamut. From the very experienced to the novices who might not have any, you know, the ones that are going to walk into a Home Depot and pick up a plant because they like the color of the plant. You know, they like the bloom. Boy, that looks good. Let me throw that in my yard. And they might read the label on it and they might not. And when I say, hey, have you paid attention to the fact that you're in zone 5? And they go, huh? So maybe you should explain to us why the hardiness zone map is so important to growers in, well, not just in the United States, because now it's all over the world, but certainly in the United States.
Well, in the United States, we use a hardiness map that was developed by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and it divides the U.S. into 11 different zones. One being the coldest, so you think of the coldest regions, those are going to be up in Alaska, and the warmest is 11, which is down in, southern Florida and some of the southern regions.
Let me stop you right there, though, because this can be misleading as well, because if you're on the coast of Alaska, those zones, I mean, if you look at the coast of the Pacific Ocean, I've talked about it on the show before. I had a vacation house on the Olympic Peninsula of Washington State. Now, in terms of latitude, it is, I believe, just a slightly bit further north than Chicago, but it's Zone 8.
Right.
And it's because of the maritime influence.
Right, exactly. And that's what you'll see when you look at the USDA hardiness map. There are colors that separate the zones. And someplace like Alaska, you can see it goes all the way from white, which is number one, the coldest. And as you get out to those warmer zones, you get into some of the brighter colors that indicate that it is a much warmer zone. So that again, is why you can take your hardiness zone, but it's really just one of the tools that you use in order to select plants, because there are microclimates within even a zone.
Well, we know that here in Illinois, there are microclimates. One is right along the lake, And one of the things I've noticed I have a bone to pick too. It's not necessarily with you. It's with the map makers and everybody putting this together. Now, I know that the map was redone in 1990, and then it was redone. Didn't another version come out in 2006?
There was a newer version because over the past few decades we've seen a gradual warming. Some people attribute it to global warming. Others will say that it is just a kind of a normal blip in temperatures. The temperatures rise and fall throughout decades normally. So that's one of the discussions that you might, you know, have later on with your meteorologist, who might have some more input in that. But there was another map done. There's been some controversy as to whether that recent climate data is a permanent change and the map should be changed. So the USDA map is still the one from 1990. There is a new
really mm-hmm. So they're still going with, because here's what happened yesterday. And when I put the show together for Sunday, usually Saturday, sometimes Friday, when I get a chance, I'm writing things that I put on the page I call This Week's Show on my website, and you can go to mikenowak.net, mikenowak.net. You go to This Week's Show, and I try to keep it as current as possible so that when people tune in and they hear something, they can immediately go to my website and click on a link so they know what I'm talking about and they can get more information, because obviously on a radio program you can't ever get everything out. Yesterday I'm researching this, and I ran into a world of hurt. For one thing, I couldn't access the USDA site. It just would not pop up. And then I went to one of the sites, and it said that the USDA was revising it, and they're using different methods, and they're going to have some other kinds of input, and maybe, and you know, but I had heard that there was another map in 2006. So what you're telling me is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, they came out with a new map and then kind of backtracked and said, maybe this isn't exactly right. Is that what you're telling me?
That's what it sounds like happened. A lot of research went into it, a lot of looking at new climate data. But as we know in governments, there were probably a lot of different people involved, and there was an agreement, and so the map was not published. Now, there is a more recent map that is based on that revised USDA map. That was put together by the Arbor Day Foundation. So if you go to the Arbor Day website, they do have that newer map, and I was looking at it this morning and realized that in your area, Chicago, you've actually moved from Zone 5 into a warmer zone, Zone 6.
And that's where I'm going to take issue with you, because there are people I know in the horticultural industry who say, before you go buying Zone 6 plants, you might want to think about this twice.
Exactly.
Because
yeah. And that's where some of those other factors of your particular garden will come into play. If you're in if you're gardening in an area where it's protected, and you know that you've got kind of a warmer climate than somebody who may be out in an area that's new, no trees, kind of more exposed, you might be able to push those boundaries.
Or if you live in Sugar Grove, which is west of here, and is in a kind of valley, they traditionally get the coldest temperatures in the winter. When they're having those, when we get our reports, they're the people who are the cold spot.
Right.
And that's a microclimate.
Right.
Now, what I want you to do, because I'm going to take a short break here and then bring in Rick DeMaio, my meteorologist. Do you have access to a computer right now?
I'm looking at various maps right now.
Wow. All right. I want you to go to my website, mikenowak.net.
Okay.
And go to This Week and look at the map that's on the left. I think that's the latest one, but I could be wrong. You said it looked like we'd gone into 6, but that shows us in 5B right around the lake. You know, because then they also break up the zones into A and B.
Right.
There's a 5A and a 5B. And you take a look at that. Tell me whether you think we got that right. And look at the links I've got, because I've tried to put the right ones up there. But you said I should go. Arbor Day has the right thing?
They have the newer map. It's www.arborday.org.
And Heather, let's put that on Facebook, Arbor Day, www.arborday.org. And There's a link on there, obviously. It'll take you to the Hardian.
Yeah, under the media section and then under zones, there's the 2006 Arbor Day Foundation map. And there's also a place where you can look up and see what your zone is by zip code. There are several sites.
I've got that. Actually, that's awesome. The whole zip code thing.
Mm-hmm.
I put the link to that, and it's at the National Gardening Association, and you type in your zip code, and not only does it bring up your area, but it gives you a lot of statistics about what happens in your area.
Right, exactly.
Which I really appreciate. Now, for a new gardener, that's going to be very, very helpful. And even an established gardener, that's going to be very, very helpful. So take a look at my website. See what map you think I've got up there. Because that's the other thing. That's my other complaint. And it's more about the Internet than it is about the USDA or the hardiness maps. If you go to images and you start looking up stuff, you can find a ton of images of various maps, and none of them have dates. And you can get very confused. Okay, which one is the current one? And it's one of the real problems I have about the Internet. And now maybe I'm stupid and there's not a way to check dates on things that get posted. Mark, have you found that, Heather?
Well, no.
Because now the Arbor Day says it's the 2006 Arbor Day Hardiness Zone map. That's the one thing. Even when you find articles...
Mm-hmm.
People post things on the Internet, and there's no date associated with it, and you just want to tear your hair out because you have no reference point as to whether this is the latest and the greatest or something else. All right, well, hang on a second. That's Janice Keefe. She's with the National Garden Bureau, and I would be remiss if I didn't give a plug to Diane Blazek at the National Garden Bureau, because she's the one who sent me the newsletter in the first place that had this information, and I thought, hey, this would be very interesting. And so I'm giving a shout out to Diane and the National Garden Bureau, and there's a link to the National Garden Bureau again on this week's show at MikeNovak.net. Hang on just a second. We will be back with Janice Kieft in just a second. Ahoy, mateys! Throw pests overboard with Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew and do it organically. Can I get an arg?
Arg.
It's me crew. This brew from Bonite contains spinosad, which is derived from a naturally occurring soil bacterium. The bacterium was collected from an abandoned rum distillery on a Caribbean island in 1982. I kid you not, I am not making this up. It was defined as a new species and hasn't been found in nature anywhere in the world since, except my basement. Spinosad... I just made that up. Spinosad.
Terracotta pots, eh?
There's something in them there. I don't know what it is.
It's rummy down there.
Rummy terracotta pots.
Don't make me turn off your mics. Spinosad is now a pesticide used worldwide in the production of organic produce. Spray Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew directly on the insect or your plant to guard against chewing and sucking insects like bagworms, moths, loopers, leaf miners, thrips, and more. Don't worry, it's safe to use on vegetable gardens, annuals, perennials, berries, shrubs, and fruit trees. You can get Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew at Sonoris and Sons in Chicago Ridge, Big R stores throughout Illinois and Indiana, Gethsemane Garden Center in Chicago, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid, or download it to your computer. Get it at Bonide.com.
Make this your best gardening season yet. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. Invest a bit of time now to ensure a bountiful harvest and beautiful landscape throughout the season. And include Milorganite, eco-friendly, all-purpose fertilizer, as part of your formula for success. Use Milorganite organic nitrogen fertilizer in all your planting beds. The low nitrogen, slow release formula makes Milorganite goof-proof and good for the environment. So choose Milorganite for better results naturally. Available wherever garden supplies are sold.
There are a lot of great reasons to visit Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. For instance, Pesci's A to Z assortment of our own grown veggies and herbs, naturally grown without pesticides and fungicides. Pesci's veggies and herbs are watered with rainwater from a holding pond. You'll get the latest and best varieties as well as a great assortment of heirlooms. Here's how you find out what's in stock. Visit Pesci's.com. Click on greenhouses at the top of the homepage. You'll find a complete list of Pesci's veggies and herbs as well as a PDF file of all the veggies they grow from seed. Naturally grown veggies and herbs along with great organic fertilizers and curatives from Dr. Earth will provide you with delicious, healthy produce this year. You've tried the rest, now learn and grow with the best. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines. Visit them online at Pesci's.com. Pesci's, three generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality. We will get to our conversation with Janice Kieft and bring in meteorologist Rick DeMaio in just a second. In fact, he'll probably be able to answer this question. What season is it today? I'm asking because the May-June issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine is on sale right now. And because I live in Chicago, I can't be sure whether it's May or June or something else. That's why you need the biggest and most jam-packed issue of the year. You're going to learn a lot about how to keep your plants alive, no matter what month it is. There are great stories like how to keep your garden containers going from the last frost in the spring to the first one in the fall simply by swapping in the right plants for the right season. Now, are you familiar with prairie smoke? No, it's not what happened when I have a picnic out in the plains. It's one of the stars of the Lurie Garden in Millennium Park, and it's a great Midwest native plant. Our own Beth Botts tells you how to care for it. Then there's my column on the inside back page. When you read it, you're going to say, what month is it? And what planet is this guy on? You can purchase Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over Chicago, but here's my advice. Get a subscription. Call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600, or go to chicagolandgardening.com.
Ooh, little sleepy boy, do you know what time it is? Well, the hour of your bedtime's long been past. Though I know you're fighting it, I can tell when you rub your eyes, you're fading fast. Oh, fading fast.
Oh, excuse me. I seem to have dozed off there for a second. This is one of Heather's songs. She picks them all out for the special days here.
Well, a lot of the dad songs are sappy or angry.
I want an angry dad song.
Good, okay. Last one.
I want an angry sappy dad.
Oh, that's not that angry. Cats in the Cradle.
Well, that's angry sappy. That's heartbreaking. I don't know what that is. That's scarring for life.
You know, Harry Chapin just wasn't the same after he did Taxi. I'm sorry. That was it. That was it for me. It was raining hard in Frisco. See, I would play that in a heartbeat. All right, let's go back to Janice Kieft from the National Garden Bureau. You still there, Janice?
I'm still here. I'm looking at maps, more maps.
And that's all she does all day long. She just looks at maps. Well, what did you discover there? I asked you to go to my page and see which map I have. What do you think that is on the left side there?
Right. I think the map that you've got is the map from the USDA, the most recent map, which would be the 1990 map.
Oh, wait. That's not the 2006 map?
No, that does not look like the 2006 map.
And why? What would the 2006 map look like? Would that be different?
The 2006 map does show some changes in zones. It's not divided into A's and B's. So when you've got the A and B zones, that usually refers back to the USDA map.
Okay, now see, that's really helpful. I didn't realize that because we still talk in terms of A and B, but the new map does not refer to it. All right, now I got to go to my own Facebook page, and Heather just posted the map from the Arbor Day Foundation.
Right.
Okay, where is that? Okay, boom, boom, boom. Let's go to the Arbor Day. Wait, no, that took... I just clicked on it, and it took me to the Mike Novak Show, Heather. Okay, what have we... Oh, that's this week. Okay, I need to be. I'm on the wrong page.
Well, there we have hardiness maps all over.
I know.
And then we have Pride Day flags, so we have rainbow maps and rainbow flags.
You know, that's true. We got
it's kind of all blending together.
There we go. There's the Arbor Day Foundation, and there's the hardiness zone. And the other thing that I want to complain about with these maps is they never get large enough for you to actually see the your area
exactly.
up close.
It's very hard, especially if you live in an area where there are a lot of different zones converging. The colors really don't give you an exact location for your particular garden. So that's why the zip code, being able to enter in by zip code on the maps. And you can also do that on the Arbor Day map as well.
And you're right. I'm looking at the 2006 map, and it's actually got us in Zone 6.
Right, yeah.
All right. This is about time we bring in our meteorologist, Rick DeMaio. Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Good, Mike. Still digesting my food and beverage from the bat mitzvah last night.
From the bat mitzvah?
Yeah. You know, as meteorologists, we get around.
Yeah, you do, obviously. Have you been, I don't know if you've caught any of this conversation we're talking about.
Well, I've been listening to it the whole time, yeah.
And the question that arose last week, Janice and Rick, addressed it somewhat last week, is just how much this is going to change. And again, whether it's accurate to say that according to the 2006 map, which, it's, as we discussed earlier, Janice, seems to be undergoing some kind of revision, whether we are indeed in Zone 6. It's all about climate change and whether the zones are creeping northward. We had a story we talked about last week that said that by the end of the century, our temperatures would be either like Dallas or like Montgomery, Alabama, or something like that. And Rick, you begged to differ on that.
Yeah, and you know, Mike, it's interesting because I was at a forum Wednesday afternoon at the Chicago Cultural Center, sponsored by the OEMC, which is the Office of Emergency Management. And they basically had a bunch of TV meteorologists, myself on, and a couple of people from the Chicago Climate Action Committee. And we were talking about this, and I'm thinking, like, okay, this is a forum for the people of the city of Chicago, and yet all of a sudden the focus was on what climate's going to be like at the end of the century. And I thought to myself, is that helpful information to gardeners? Is what is the ultimate change going to be? Or is the information that we really need to be concentrating on is in the short term, is how we get there, and what type of variability we have in between.
That's a really good, that's a great point. And Diana, I hope you heard that, but when you talk about what's going to happen at the end of the century, yeah, how does that relate to gardeners right now? Not very much, I would think.
Well, no, I don't think so. I think, you know, gardeners, we do look at what's going to do well, but probably not in that time frame. You know, we're looking at gardens probably in the next, you know, putting in a new garden maybe 10, 20 years, maybe shorter, sometimes longer. And gardens are always evolving. So, you know, we can always change as our microclimate changes, as the overall climate changes, you know, putting in new plants. Gardeners always like to try something new. So it provides opportunities to put some new plants in as well.
You know, I'm looking at this 2006 map on the Arbor Day site. There's no Zone 1 in the United States, according to that map. And 2 barely exists in the United States. Tell that to the people in North Dakota in the middle of the winter.
Right. I'm wondering if they're thinking that people in those zones just don't do that much gardening outdoors.
I don't know. But maybe that's why they're revising it. Maybe they got a little too eager and started shifting zones. My friend Sean Kingzette from the Care of Trees talks about this. We've talked about this at length. And he just urges caution, as does Rick DeMaio. On the part of people who will run out and say, well, now we're in Zone 6, so I'm going to start planting Zone 6 stuff. Well, I can tell you right now that you're probably still not going to get one of those Nikko hydrangeas to bloom in Chicago. You know, no matter what you call it, one of the big questions I always get at garden talks is, why doesn't my hydrangea bloom? And I say, because you got the wrong hydrangea. And it's usually one that will survive in a Zone 6 and bloom and thrive in a Zone 6, but that means if it's not working here, we're not Zone 6.
Hey, Mike, if I can chime in here for a minute.
Yeah.
Part of the conversation that we had on Wednesday is obviously this forum was sponsored by the Emergency Management Center. So when you think about climate, you don't really think about an emergency unless we have such dramatic changes where the short-term weather effects have some sort of, you know, dire consequence to them, as in, A, we had three really cloudy, cool days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, during Memorial Day weekend, and all of a sudden we had temperatures in the low to mid-90s with the heat index value of 100, and even though people heard the forecast, the fact that we had such cloudy, cool weather prior to that led people to have a lot of doubt. So they basically went about their day thinking, oh, how can it be that hot? How could it be that humid when yesterday it was in the 50s? And in the end, they basically put their hand into a fire that was a lot hotter than they thought it would be. Using that analogy, I think what ended up happening, particularly on North Avenue Beach that day, where we had so many people going down to the beach to cool off, in a sense, the city, which didn't really fess up to the fact that they blew it from a standpoint of having enough police and firemen and maybe emergency management people on hand before that situation kind of got out of control, similar to what happened when we had the blizzard.
Yep.
So I think what we're seeing here is kind of new territory. It's not so much how things are going to end up being. It's how things are going in the short term, and whether or not these extreme variations we see in weather puts doubt into people's minds over whether they should believe forecasts 3 to 4 to 5 days out. And I think that's really key, because I think that was also happening during this tornado season. And we've had many, many discussions with those people in the academic and operational world by saying, how much more can we do when we talk about the fact that there's a convective outlook, there's a watch, there's a mesoscale discussion, there's a warning, but you still have people dying in record numbers in areas where tornadoes are going through densely populated areas. I think all of a sudden as scientists, we say to ourselves, okay, guys, this is a new playing field. What do we have to do to get people prepared for it? And I think you can almost take the same sort of template of questions and kind of apply it to the discussion that we're doing now, which is about climate. Do I react to something that's going to happen in 89 years, or do I react to more short-term consequences so that I can get the most out of these changes? I know myself, my old house probably had zone 5 on one side of the house and zone 6 on the 7 based on how much sunlight I got, how much drainage I got, what type of soil I had. And literally it took me about 4 or 5 years to figure out what worked and what didn't work. And I think those are the real questions we need to really ask, is not so much whether or not we're 5 or 5A or 5B or 6, and whether or not we should be planting, you know, hardier trees or trees that are more drought resistant. And I think the agricultural world has picked up on this as well, where they're trying to figure out if we can predict 90 to 120 days in advance what type of summer we're going to have across the Midwest and the Corn Belt. Do we go to a more drought-resistant corn? Do we go to a corn that is able to handle more heat, more humidity, and more rainfall? And I think those are really interesting questions, and they're also challenging. And I think one thing that we agreed upon at this forum is we don't approach these questions with preconceived answers of, like, it's not happening. I think we realize that it is happening, and I think we just need to figure out how to change the playing field and come up with a good answer. And I think we're kind of getting there, but we won't get there if there's a roadblock of sometimes what happens often in these situations is these discussions become highly politicized.
Yeah, they do.
People say, well, we shouldn't do anything about it because we had a lot of snow last week.
Yeah, but
and,
you know what? You know, that, you can.
And that's crazy sometimes.
I think it is crazy, and my first observation is you should be working as an advisor for the city of Chicago, because you've nailed things now. Two things. You nailed the thing in the winter. What you said, the drive was going to shut down, and they didn't seem to know it. And the other thing is that, you know, it really is going to get to be 95 degrees tomorrow, whether you think that can happen or not, you know.
Right.
Well, listen, Janice, I'm going to let you go. I want to thank you so much for pointing out the vagaries. I've got people tweeting me and writing me on Facebook, and calling in to say, don't forget microclimates. And yeah, you're aware of that. We talked about that a little bit earlier. There, as Rick just said, there are places that where you can have zones one degree zone higher or lower depending on the conditions. Everything's variable. The point is, it's not an exact science yet, is it, Janice?
No, it's not. And there are several other major factors that can affect whether a plant is going to survive. Certainly heat and hardiness are important, but also sunlight, your water, your drainage, your soil type, those all play equally as important roles in whether a plant is going to survive. And one of the best choices for planting a long-term garden is to look at things that are native, things that are growing in that area. They've been in that area for hundreds of years in some cases. So natives are a really good alternative when planting gardens as well.
You know, that's probably the best advice you could give. And over again, folks say, you know, if you want to beat the system, plant natives. That's the way to do it because they do adjust, and a slight variation in a zone is not going to thwart them. It's not going to confuse them. So Janice right. Keith from National Garden Bureau, thank you so much. And go to National Garden Bureau, and the website for that is? Do you have
NGB. NGB.org.
NGB.org. We will talk to you later. Rick, you hang on. I'll let you go, Janice.
Bye-bye. Nice talking with you.
Take care. Bye-bye. And we'll be back with the forecast in just a second. Get rich! Rich soil, that is, with Dr. Earth's Pot of Gold potting soil. This all-purpose potting soil is packed with organic materials such as earthworm castings and moisturizing aloe and yucca extracts. The Pot of Gold blend is great for use in all container sizes. It improves soil drainage in clay soil, and when used as a mulch, it helps retain moisture and control weeds. Doctor your earth with Dr. Earth, the multivitamin for your garden. 35 million satisfied customers, and Dr. Wally can't be wrong. Visit DrEarth.com to find a dealer near you. Now, Bobex wants to know if you are as smart as the critters who want to chow down on the plants in your yard. Okay, we're not going to compare IQ scores, but there are some things you need to be aware of when you do battle with neighborhood critters. For instance, you can put plants in your yard that some sources consider critter resistant. However, like everything in life, that's a relative concept. You know, like hardiness zones. Deer, rabbits, and other critters have preferences like people do. And when foliage is in short supply, they will eat anything they can sink their teeth into. Here's something else you need to know about, and that's the deer population. Have you been paying attention in your area? Are you on a deer trail? That might not be the smartest place to plant certain species. That's one of the reasons you might not want to guess how to protect your plants, but talk to the experts at Bobex. Give them a call. 800-792-4449. 800-792-4449. Or you can go to Bobex.com. You can get the number there. And of course, in addition to online, Bobex is available only at your local independent garden center like Hager's Country Market in Barrington, Effinger Garden Center in Belleville, and Red's Garden Center in Northbrook, Illinois. Remember, plants thrive and survive with Bobex.
Tired of spending a lot of time watering your plants to keep them looking their best? Have you heard about Soil Moist? Help your plants survive the stressful heat of the summer with Soil Moist. Mixing Soil Moist's water-absorbing crystals in the soil as you plant can reduce watering frequency by 50%, and that's good for the planet. Soil Moist granules hold over 200 times their weight in water and release it back to the plant as it needs it. Soil Moist is ideal for patio planters and hanging baskets that dry out quickly. Safe and garden-friendly, Soil Moist can be used indoors and out for all of your planting needs, vegetable gardens too. The secret of professional growers, Soil Moist. Soil Moist is available in granules, self-watering mats, and plant packs, and is available at leading garden centers. Soil Moist is now available with mycorrhizae. It increases plant growth and establishment with fewer plant waterings.
Okay, so here we are. It's almost the end of June, and what else can we plant? How about trees and shrubs? SIDS announces their Landscape Design Days event going on now through June 25th with the season's best selection of trees and shrubs. And with the coupon at SIDSonline.com, you'll save $50 on your tree and shrub purchase of $250 or more. Not sure what to plant where? SIDS can help with a landscape mini consultation. Just bring in photos and measurements, and their nursery staff will help with plant selection. selection and placement. And once you plant that new tree, you'll be all set for the barbecue and the glorious shade it offers. So while you're at SIDS, check out their great selection of Weber Genesis gas grills now on sale. Plus, you'll get free setup and local delivery of your new Weber gas grill now through June 25th. You can say, hey, Dad, I didn't get it for you in time, but we're going tomorrow. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard and on the web at SIDSonline.com. Back to Rick DeMaio with a forecast for the week. What do we got, buddy?
Right now, Mike, a lot of clouds out there. We have a bunch of showers and thunderstorms just west of Rockford up to the Madison area. Then there's another batch of storms generally across central areas of Illinois. This area to the south of us has had rain every single day this week. In some places from Peoria to Champaign south with the Springfield down to Decatur, anywhere between 6 and as much as 10 inches of rain over the last 4 days. And all that obviously has been eventually soaking up into at least the soil getting soaked up and all of it south of us. So bottom line, clouds today, maybe a brief shower late this afternoon. I think the chances are pretty much less than about 20%. So much of the day, rain-free, temperatures in the low 80s. A better chance of seeing close to 85 degrees during the day on Monday with another chance of a couple of thunderstorms. Excuse me, Mike, late in the afternoon. And then probably a stormy day on Tuesday before we get into some cooler weather for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So from an agricultural standpoint, Mike, over the next 5 days, I'm thinking about an inch to about an inch and a half of rain. And temperatures probably averaging near normal. We'll first get about 5 to 8 degrees above normal next 2 days, and probably about 5 to 8 degrees below normal.
Okay, we're done, Rick. Okay, thanks. Next hour, Honey Co-op. We'll talk to you.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees, and by SIDS Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, and by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
I haven't done the mashed potato in a long time.
I can do it with gravy. And I know what it is, and I'm under 40.
Yeah, but you make it your business to know what that stuff is. It's like you just refuse to not be a part of everything that's ever happened in the world.
I'm just curious, is Papa's brand new bag a nice canvas reusable shopping bag with, you know...
Yeah.
Since we are green and promoting
with James Brown on the side of it.
Now that is a shopping bag I would so carry.
Yeah.
It should say that. Papa's got a brand new bag with a big recycling done it, all bedazzled symbol on it.
Why not?
Yeah.
You know?
They're getting cooler and cooler if you see ones at certain grocery stores. They put like the cityscape on them and now you can get the Bears and the Sox and the Cubs.
You know,
and all
here's the thing. Here's the thing about reusable bags. When I started using reusable bags, I would just use whatever I could get my hands on. This was before they would sell them at the supermarkets. And you know, if people actually use them, that's great. Now what worries me, it's becoming a whole industry where they're manufacturing reusable bags that don't break down any better than the plastic ones do.
The ones that have got like plastic coating on them or something.
And now we're going to have a whole world full of reusable bags that everybody uses once and then throws away.
And you still get your drawer full of them at home. You know, that's like...
You go to events now, you go to conferences, and they're handing out reusable... They put... I'm glad they put... The coarse materials or whatever, often they put them in a reusable bag. But now I'm worried that we've just got so many of those darn reusable bags out there that this is going to be the next problem that we have to deal with. I don't know. I'm just saying here. I got 30 reusable bags in the trunk of my car. Okay, and I use them all the time. I walk in everywhere with a reusable bag. You know, it's okay. Fill it up, baby. And they're fabulous because I'm just tell you the truth. I'm amazed at how many people don't use reusable bags yet. Because especially Mark, the younger crowd. I say that looking. And you're in
that
this.
Was a total dad look, by the way. It was a little
was that?
Scary. He did. He shot the dad eye at you.
Pull that mic over. Mark, pull that. Defend yourself, sucker.
So it's Father's Day.
It is.
I don't know why I'm getting in trouble here.
I don't know.
Because when I go, I use this as my favorite example because I stop at the Dominic's occasionally at Fullerton and Sheffield, right off the red line there, so you can pick something up and hop on the Fullerton bus. And I don't see any of those kids ever use a reusable bag.
And I'm there, picking plastic
loitering.
Bags.
He's loitering.
Throwing them in the parking lot.
Exactly.
Bomb at the elderly.
That's what he's doing.
It's me.
You are the one. So what's wrong with you kids? That's what I want to know, Mark. You speak for your generation, please.
I don't even know where
to begin.
They're
too whacked out on the Ritalin.
They are. They have too many video games.
I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. Pot was so much safer.
And green.
Yeah. And green.
It's organic.
Organic. You can do hydroponics.
Don't do drugs, kids. We're
just kidding. I wish I had a nickel. I wish I had a nickel for everybody who comes up to me and winks and says, have you ever done a show on hydroponics?
Well... they have books on that in great abundance in the gardening sections because I know my brother-in-law is not listening, but he has begun composting.
He is now.
No, he's not. It was my sister's birthday last night, so they were out quite late into the evening. But I bought him a book on composting for his Father's Day present because he started.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm dead serious. And I found the one with Worm Girl.
Urban Worm Girl.
Yeah. Urban Worm Girl.
They've got a new book out.
Yes.
I'm so glad you bought one. You know, we got to have Urban Worm Girl back on the show.
I got that one, and I got...
And Mike Sanders thinks that Urban Worm Girl is a superhero.
How to save money through gardening and composting.
Urban Worm Girl must be part of the younger generation.
She is. She's pretty rad.
No, she's more of Heather's generation than young punks like you.
Did you just call me old?
Yes, I did. I did.
That's new.
You're in the 30s now,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, I've hit my mid-30s.
See?
My youth dying.
Are you Jesus's age yet?
Yeah.
Okay, well there you go.
I knew that walking on water just started out of nowhere.
I was trying to figure out why that happened. All right, let's get back to business here. It's a Mike Novak show on Chicago's Progressive Talk. I'm surrounded by young punks in the studio, but that's okay. Keeps me young. And it's time. Well, you know what? Let's take care of a little bit of this business, and then we will get to Sydney Barton, who is in studio from Chicago Honey Co-op. I got lots of questions to ask. And Sydney, very quickly, you say that Michael Thompson, who was going to be here, he's on an emergency swarm patrol.
You could call it that.
Did somebody call in with a swarm?
No, we had a swarm yesterday, so he just thought it would be a good idea. As long as it isn't raining.
On site?
An unidentified area of Chicago.
Okay. No, because I know one of the things you guys do is you collect swarms, right?
Actually, we don't collect swarms because we're pretty much too busy for that. But there is a page on our website where you can, if you see a swarm, actually we have a list of beekeepers who will pick up swarms for you.
But Michael's on...
This is a different kind of swarm control.
You're being very secretive.
It's actually swarm prevention. He's looking to prevent that happening.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought you guys liked swarms. You like it because it's starting a new colony, basically, right?
Not when you want to make honey to survive, to keep your business going, no.
Because does it take away bees from...
It takes a half the hive away.
Oh, and so if it's near your hives and you have 60 of them at the Chicago Honey Co-op, and I believe, didn't you tell me that was 50 to 60,000 per hive?
Something like that, yeah.
I did the math yesterday. That's over 3 million bees.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Well, I was, no, and I wrote this down. I went, and I used the calculator on the computer. I went, wait a second, let me do this over. No, that's right. 3 million bees. Wow. That's a lot. All right. That's a taste of what, no pun intended, of, what we're going to be talking about. If you got a question about bees or honey or, Chicago Honey Co-op, and they're having their big, June 24th, summer solstice, this Friday, we'll talk about that. 773-838-9278. 773-838-9278. And sometime before the end of the hour, Heather and Mark and I are going to talk about, well, I don't know about you next week, Mark, but Heather and I are going to be under the rainbow.
Oh, yes.
Next week for the Pride Parade. And it's very exciting. The Mike Novak Show being broadcast from the site of the Pride Parade next Sunday. Be afraid. Be very, very afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Okay.
Be just ready.
Yeah, exactly. We'll talk about that later in the show.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
It's time for Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. Wally isn't a real doctor, and you can tell this week because he's not carrying a stethoscope. In fact, he has a magnifying glass, and he says that early detection is the key to keeping your plants healthy. A good magnifying glass or hand lens is an invaluable gardening tool. Why? Wally routinely checks over plants that just don't look right, and here's how to do it. You want to start by inspecting the underside of the leaves with a hand lens. That's always a great place to start. Not just don't look on top, because the insects are smarter than you are. Small insects like spider mites are not easily seen without magnification. Some insect problems look like fungus and vice versa. If you have a problem with a plant you can't figure out, bring a sample to Pesci's in a sealed bag. Don't want to just release it all over the nursery. They'll put the specimen under their digital microscope and give you the proper diagnosis and treatment. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines and online at Pesci's.com. Pesci's, 3 generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. There's no time of the year when we're safe from storms in this part of the country. So if you have mature trees in your yard, you just might want to have the Care of Trees phone number handy. Why? They have 24-hour emergency service. Many people don't understand how dangerous it is to remove or prune storm-damaged trees yourself, especially if a tree falls on a car, other structures, power lines, or even other trees. The Care of Trees offered, you know, I got to say, in the Pacific Northwest, they called a tree that fell on another tree the loggers. They would call those widowmakers because that was so dangerous. you know, the one thing you never wanted to have happen is the tree hit another tree because now it's veering off in weird directions. And same thing applies in the city or the suburbs. If you're not paying attention, you could get hurt. The Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years and shares your enthusiasm for the many ways trees enhance the quality of your life. Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread.
Sustainable Food Fundamentals is sponsored in part by Pearl Valley Eggs. Support an Illinois family farm that does it right. Insist on Pearl Valley Eggs where you shop.
We're a little early today with Sustainable Food Fundamentals, and that's because at this point I've got Sydney Barton in the studio. You're one of the founders of the Chicago Honey Co-op?
Not one of the original three.
Oh, okay.
But I came in pretty early on.
Who were the original three?
Michael Thompson, Stephanie Arnett, and Tim Brown.
Okay. I was trying to... I might have missed it. I looked on the website. I'm not sure it's up there, but maybe it is. I don't know. But, well, congratulations to them because it's quite a venture. 2004, they had this idea that they would raise bees in the city, and they started with how many hives?
40 that year.
Oh, really? That's a lot to start with.
Yeah,
now, how do you start that with that many?
They were all experienced beekeepers and all had their own hives for a while.
So did they just combine them, bring them all together?
No, it wasn't like that. We actually partnered with a nonprofit at the time for a job training program, and the money was raised to do that and get all the equipment together, and we found the space and got it going in the summer of 2004.
Mm-hmm. And now you've got 60 hives, as we mentioned a little earlier.
Between 50 and 60.
Between 50 and 60. Okay, fine. With between 50...
Sometimes we're afraid to count.
I understand. With between 50 and 60,000 bees in each one, it's quite an effort. How many staff people do you need to keep this going?
There are... three people who do the beekeeping right now, and then I handle lots of the other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Meaning washing the windows?
I do the website, I do the social media, I do email outreach, I do radio shows, that kind of thing.
Like this?
Yeah.
You're the voice of the Chicago Honey Co-op.
Actually, I don't speak very often. Mostly email.
Oh, I see. Well, you're on the radio right now, and relax. We're all here to have a good time, and go get the beers, Mark. All right, and we'll be fine. Do we have any honey beer? But
that can be arranged.
That can be arranged? Mm-hmm. Okay, great. I just got a tweet. It says, does your guest know that Juno star... actress Ellen Page just completed a Bee Decline documentary. She was on Bill Maher's show recently. Familiar with that?
No, I'm not with that one.
Have you seen The Queen of the Sun?
I have seen Queen of the Sun.
I saw that. And there's a number of documentaries out now about bees and the decline of the bees. What did you experience? I understand it was a tough winter for bees in Chicago. Did you experience any problems?
Yes, it was a tough winter. Mainly because in a normal winter, there might be two or three days that are warm and sunny enough for bees to actually leave the hive and do cleansing flights.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a good 90 days solid this winter where that wasn't being done. That wasn't able to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the bees suffer from bee dysentery caused by, I think it's a fungal disease called Nosema.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Nosema is fungal disease.
Yeah, and so that that brought down the numbers of, or brought up the numbers.
Because I understand, yeah, understand a lot of beekeepers lost a lot of bees in Chicago, and it's not necessarily connected to colony collapse
not
disorder
at all. Colony collapse disorder has not come to Illinois.
Let's see, and it, you think beekeeping is easy, kids? One of the things I knew this already, but when you learn from, you see these various documentaries, is that bees are susceptible to so many things. They're a very, very vulnerable insect. And one of the reasons is that their genome's been mapped, and they have about half the genes required to fight off a lot of the various problems. You know, half the genes that other insects have that can withstand the low-level pesticides mm-hmm. and the viruses and the fungi and the stress. I mean, if you looked at if you saw Queen of the Sun, you saw how they're shipped around the country. They go out for 2 weeks to California in February or whatever, January, February, and they're just stacked on pallets, on trucks. And one of the millions die just from sitting in parking lots waiting. You know, they're shrink-wrapped. They've got hives shrink-wrapped. That ain't no way to treat a bee, is it?
I've never seen a shrink-wrapped pallet of beehives.
You do in the movie.
I have seen them screened. I can't defend practices that we certainly don't agree with, but you know, beekeepers have to make a living, and really the serious living for a beekeeper is in pollination. It's mm-hmm. but it's taken a long time for it to sink in to them that really the best thing they can do is not to treat, but to really work on developing bees that are resistant to the diseases and mites.
And, well, and it depends what's actually going wrong with them. I mean, a lot of folks want to point the finger and say, it's that one pesticide that is causing everything, and you're shaking your head.
I am shaking my head.
And I agree with you, because there's so much else
going
on.
Everybody wants the answer.
They want a magic bullet somehow.
Yeah, and it's much more complicated than that, and bees that travel are subjected to not only the stresses of traveling, but the stresses of bad nutrition, for one thing.
Yeah.
When bees go to almond pollination, the only pollen they're getting is almond pollen. There's nothing else growing there. So
it's a monoculture.
That is a monoculture, and that means that they're not getting the variety of protein that they need.
But the other thing is they are often fed high fructose corn syrup to supply them with the energy they need to go out and pollinate.
Yeah, because it's inexpensive. And that's a bad idea too.
You think?
I can't. I mean, there's no, as that I'm aware of, solid evidence that it's seriously bad. It can be very bad for them if it's heated to a temperature that's too high.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I don't want to get on my political soapbox.
No, and I did kind of take you down that road, but this is what. Nowadays, a lot of folks' entry into bee culture is when they realize that the bees are disappearing, and they want to know, and then all these things come up. I've studied this for several years. I've written articles about it. I agree with the people who say we still don't know, that there are so many factors, and it's probably all of them weighing on the bees, that there is no magic bullet. I personally think that constant low-grade exposure to pesticides has quite a bit to do with this. You know, I don't think that there's one chemical that is doing it, and I could be wrong, but the scientists I've talked to and the educators I've talked to say, yeah, you know what? We have put so many different, the bees are under so much stress from so many different directions, it's not surprising that this has happened. Now, that being, and as you said, you can raise them, in an organic way, which is what you do at Chicago Honey Co-op, and still lose bees over the winter simply because there weren't enough warm days.
Well, not only that, but I mean, because we don't treat them, they are more susceptible to some of the diseases. But how we try to get around that is just to make sure we, when we need to purchase bees, we purchase the healthiest kind of bee stock we can find. This year we purchased bees that are from Minnesota Hygienic queens. And those are our queens this year. That means that the bees do a lot of cleaning. They will actually go into the cells of brood where the new young bees are growing and find diseased brood and take them out of the hive. So that's a plus for us. And it also they also work to keep the mites down very, very well so far.
I like the idea of raising bees that are going to, you know, they want to treat every time there's a disease or an insect problem you want to treat, and you're rolling your eyes, and which tells me something. The bees need to learn how to take care of themselves,
yeah,
don't they?
That's one of the problems with commercial beekeeping. They can't afford to let the bees take care of themselves because they'd all be out of business. But in a situation like ours, our goal initially was to be chemical free. We can't control where the bees go to forage. But we can make sure that we keep chemicals and treatments and antibiotics out of the hive so that we don't have bees that are exposed to that.
Well, I'm going to get more into your actual production there, and we're going to talk about the benefit coming up this week because there's lots of things going on with Chicago Honey Co-op, and that is Sydney Barton from the Chicago Honey Co-op. We will continue the conversation. Hang on. If you got a phone call or a question, 773-838-9278. I need to just, can I get an R from the team here? How about one from you, Heather?
R.
Thank you. Ahoy, mateys. Throw pests overboard with Cap'n Jack's Dead Bug Brew and do it organically. This brew from Bonide contains spinosad. It's a pesticide used worldwide in the production of organic produce. Spray Cap'n Jack's Dead Bug Brew directly on the insect or your plant to guard against chewing and sucking insects like bagworms, moths, loopers, leaf miners, thrips, and more. And it's safe to use on vegetable gardens, annuals, perennials, berries, shrubs, and fruit trees. But as I always tell you, please practice RAFLD. Read and follow label directions. You can get Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew at Sonoris & Sons in Chicago Ridge, Illinois, Big R stores throughout Illinois and Indiana, and Gethsemane Garden Center in Chicago, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. Oh, yeah. And we had a tweet earlier, what is a pirate's favorite vegetable? And, of course, it is an artichoke. Bonide.com. You can locate a retailer while you're there. Download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid or download it to your computer. Get it at Bonide.com.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite Goof-Proof Organic Fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green safe for your kids and pets. Start by raising the mowing height of your lawn, if you haven't done so already. Taller grass is better able to compete with the weeds. Mow often, removing only one-third of the total height, and leave the clippings on the lawn. Consider using a push or electric mower. It's good for the waistline and the environment. Further improve your lawn's health and greatly reduce weed problems with proper fertilization. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't burn your lawn, even in hot, dry weather. Plus, you don't need to water it in. And the non-staining iron helps maintain the deep green color, even in the heat of summer. So join the professionals and home gardeners who've trusted Milorganite for over 80 years. Use Milorganite for better results naturally. Available where garden supplies are sold.
Thank you, Melinda Myers. Okay, so here we are. It's almost the end of June, and what else can we plant? How about trees and shrubs? SIDS announces their Landscape Design Days event going on now through June 25th with the season's best selection of trees and shrubs. And with the coupon at SIDSonline.com, you'll save $50 on your tree and shrub purchase of $250 or more. Not sure what to plant where? Well, SIDS can help with a landscape design. mini consultation. Just bring in photos and measurements of your yard, and the nursery staff will help you plant with plant selection and placement. And once you plant that new tree, you'll be all set for the barbecue and the glorious shade it offers. So while you're at SIDS, check out their great selection of Weber Genesis gas grills, now on sale. Plus, you'll get free setup and local delivery of your new Weber gas grill now through June 25th. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard, also on the web at sidsonline.com.
Tired of spending a lot of time watering your plants to keep them looking their best? Have you heard about Soil Moist? Help your plants survive the stressful heat of the summer with Soil Moist. Mixing Soil Moist's water-absorbing crystals in the soil as you plant can reduce watering frequency by 50%, and that's good for the planet. Soil Moist granules hold over 200 times their weight in water and release it back to the plant as it needs it. Soil Moist is ideal for patio planters and hanging baskets that dry out quickly. Safe and garden-friendly, Soil Moist can be used indoors and out for all of your planting needs, vegetable gardens too. The secret of professional growers, Soil Moist. Soil Moist is available in granules, self-watering mats, and plant packs, and is available at leading garden centers. Soil Moist is now available with mycorrhizae. It increases plant growth and establishment with fewer plant waterings.
Who is that guy? Here's a real quote from a real person who used Bobex deer repellent. I finally saw my daylilies. I think that says it all. You need to know that to deer, daylilies are like bonbons, so get some Bobex in your arsenal. Bobex will give your garden florals a chance to survive, protecting them from critters like deer, rabbits, groundhogs, squirrels, and chipmunks. How? Bobex steers grazers away using both the odor and taste of meat meal, fish oil, putrescent eggs, garlic, and other naturally occurring ingredients. No bonbons here, Ms. Deer. You can get Bobex in an easy to use spray, concentrate, and even with a pump sprayer. There is plenty of information about Bobex products and how to use them at Bobex.com. All Bobex products are environmentally safe. You're not going to find it in the big box stores, only at your local independent garden center. You can find Bobex products at Ralph's Greenhouse in Round Lake, Illinois, Gobert's in South Barrington, Illinois, Village Farm Stand in South Holland, Illinois. Remember, plants thrive and survive with Bobex. That's a good choice there, Heather. Great song for Father's Day. Mr. President, have pity on a working man. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We are talking to Sydney Barton from the Chicago Honey Co-op. Let's get right to the event right now, and then we can plug it later as well. Next Friday, you guys are having an annual event in which you work with Slow Food, Chicago Slow Food, right?
Mm-hmm.
And is this Slow Food Chicago or Chicago Slow Food?
Slow Food Chicago.
That's what I thought. Okay, Slow Food Chicago. And it's kind of a potluck thing.
It is a potluck thing, not a kind of potluck thing.
So make sure that
it's a potluck thing and bring your own chair thing.
Bring your own
not
chair.
Not a lot of seating at the apiary.
Or you call sometimes the bee farm.
Bee farm, yeah.
Yeah. But at the apiary, 3740 West Fillmore in Chicago.
Yeah. Now, that's in the block of Fillmore between Central Park and Independence Boulevard. So we take up the whole north side of that block.
Yeah, and if you go to the Chicago Honey Co-op website, you can see the picture from above, from outer space, not really out of space, but above. It's a huge complex. I mean, it's for a city.
Complex? It makes it sound a bit more developed than it is.
Well.
It is a big, big space. The beehives are on a big concrete pad that was part of the Sears Roebuck warehouse complex over there and got torn down when they left. And then the rest of it has become overgrown with, you know, typical weed trees and
Tree of Heaven and probably some of those crazy
Chinese
elms.
Yeah. But they make great stakes for planting things.
Of course.
But, you know, we also have a community garden over there. Actually, we call it a community farm. It got started initially when Michael Thompson, when we first started, he started growing food immediately. And then the North Lawndale Greening Committee joined us over there. And so it's basically a community, open community farm for people to grow their own food from the neighborhood. And
that's kind of what we're doing on my block with the Green on McLean. We just started planting stuff and said, okay, anybody want to plant? Let's do it. Here we go. And we haven't, we don't have dues and we haven't even figured out the allotments. We just said, here's the dirt, plant. You know, let's see what happens.
Yeah, there was no plan initially to grow there. It wasn't part of the overall idea, but it's just kind of happened. I hesitate to use the word organically, but it's grown over the years.
I can make a nickel every time somebody says the word organic on this show.
Okay, great.
Oh, I wish.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wish you did too.
Oh,
that
I
and
wish.
Sustainable.
Yeah. No, another nickel. Okay. But those things happen. They develop. But the problem is you guys might be leaving the space.
We're most likely leaving. We always knew that it was a temporary situation. It's the property is owned by a development company. And they were kind enough to let us use it. And it's turned out to be really ideal all these years. And it's going to be really sad to go, but the property is under contract to be sold, so most likely this is our last season there.
And where are you going?
We don't know yet.
You got 60 hives and 3 million bees, so you got to figure out something, huh?
Yeah. We have been talking to Benjamin Helfand at NeighborSpace about some possibilities.
Of course.
And
the guy knows more about spaces in the city, you know. He's got these little maps on his hand. He just walks around, looking. And, oh, yeah, I got one for you here. You need 6 lots. And that's what you need, about 6 lots.
About 6 lots to fit, the bees. Mm-hmm. We could also split up and do possibly 2 or 3 locations, but we would need one base location for storage. We have a couple of containers of equipment on the site.
All right. Here's where we put the pitch in. I got people listening. I bet somebody owns 6 lots somewhere in the city. And why is this a good fit? What do you bring to a neighborhood with Chicago Honey Co-op that they could really use?
That question's never been put to me before.
I know. This is what happens when you come to my show.
I really see us as a community resource increasingly over the years. We've gotten into a good relationship with the community that we're in. And, bees aren't dangerous. I don't want anybody to be scared.
Oh, heck. Let's go right there. The first thing that's one of the first things we should have said, but now this is actually a really good place or a good time to say it. Bees are gentle. And bees don't cause problems, and people who are afraid of getting stung, well, most of the people who are afraid of getting stung are just wimps.
I wouldn't say that.
I would. See, it's my show. I get to say that.
Yeah,
you don't have to say it. I will.
I'm the one with 60,000 bees per hive.
That's true. the other thing is I do understand that some people are allergic to it, and I get that. But, they also do so much good, and they're pollinating plants. My question to you, though, about that would be, in the west side of Chicago, where are they foraging?
Good question, Mike.
I ask all the good questions here.
There's actually a ton of forage, and a lot of the best forage is on the well-known vacant lots on the west side of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
We happen to be butted up against an abandoned freight line that serviced Sears,
mm-hmm.
and up there is some of the best bee forage in the world, and it's a remnant of farming days. It's white sweet clover, which is not native to North America, but was brought in as cattle forage. And it's incredible forage for honeybees.
Some people say that white sweet clover makes the best honey.
Some people do, and we're one of them.
Okay. So you like
white
that.
Sweet clover. And a lot of people, and there's an incredible bloom of yellow sweet clover right now, which doesn't grow as high, very similar growth pattern. That's also extremely good honey. What people don't realize a lot is how much bees forage on street trees.
Really? Okay.
From the early spring in March when the silver maples start to bloom,
mm-hmm.
that's a good source for pollen, early source for pollen for bees. Some of the one of the three best honeys, besides the two clovers,
yes.
would be from linden trees and basswood. And there are tons and tons of those trees in Chicago.
Yeah. So, you know, there's the answer to your question. Where do the bees forage? Now we know.
Yeah. So, you know, people who get concerned that they don't see bees in their backyard, Mr. Brown Thumb.
oh, dear. You didn't want to go down that road. Now, oh, boy, I've been mending.
Twitter's going to explode.
I've been mending fences for months here, and all my hard work just went down the tubes.
You can blame it on me.
Okay, believe me, I am. I'm going to say, I did not say that.
What people don't realize is honeybees are extremely efficient in the way they forage, and once a honeybee finds a really big supply of nectar or pollen, it goes back to the hive and tells everybody else. And they go back to that source, and so the bees aren't stopping in your yard along the way. You'll attract honeybees if you have about 3 square meters of a good honey plant. But if you've got, you know, I don't know, a couple tulips,
yeah.
they're not going to bother. You won't see them.
However, the bumblebees will find 2 tulips. You know, in the spring, that's
yes.
one of my favorite things is that when the bumblebees emerge and I love the bumblebees. They're just
yeah.
so dopey, you know.
And they
just,
fly around.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, they can stop at the tulips because they're semi-social insects and don't have 50,000 sisters.
waiting at the
yeah,
hive.
Yeah, waiting for, okay, where are we going now? And so they can survive on your backyard,
yeah.
you know, and other people's backyards.
Well, this Friday is the big event. And here's what I'm going to suggest to people is not only should you show up at 3740 West Fillmore at 6 p.m. on Friday, June 24th. And by the way, the rain date is June 26th, Sunday from 4 to 7. It's only $10 if you're a Slow Food and Honey Co-op member, but it's only $15 for a non-member. I mean, what a deal. But
No, it's the most affordable fundraiser in Chicago.
Yep. And if you can't go, here's what I'm telling you. Just give them $5. Give them $10. Give them $25. This is a great thing. You go to farmers markets. You sell your products at the Green City Market and Logan Square. That's mm-hmm. my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a project to raise queen bees, which I thought is awesome because our queen bees are not as productive as they used to be. So you're trying to get back to basics on this, aren't you?
Yeah, we're also part of the Illinois Queen Raising Initiative. Members of that group, and it's like to get us to stop relying on bees that come from Georgia or California or Florida, which aren't really acclimated to this climate,
yeah,
and start raising our own queens.
Let them raise, you know, create themselves and be as productive as they possibly can be. So it's this Friday, but like I said, go to my website, mikenovak.net, scroll down to the headline where it says Celebrate the Summer Solstice at Chicago Honey Co-op. As we know, summer solstice is not exactly on Friday. It's a few days before. We don't care. It's still summer. And bring your potluck dinner, and let's help them survive and move to a new location. And if any of you developers are listening and you want some hives on your property, give me a holler.
We're also open to having bees on rooftops, too. So
cool.
If you've got some rooftop space available. But, yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Sydney Barton, for coming down to the studio all the way here on the south side. Well, you're all the way out in the west side, so good luck to you. I'm hoping that everything goes very well.
Thank you.
Sustainable Food Fundamentals is brought to you in part by Healthy Grow Lawn and Garden Food, part of the Pearl Valley Organics family. Learn more at healthygrow.com.
Beans, not cornbread, out of sight. Beans. Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. I'll be ready. I'll be ready.
And while we're talking about Pearl Valley Organics, I want to tell you about Pearl Valley Eggs, an Illinois family-owned farm that does it right. Dave Thompson, the founder of Pearl Valley Eggs, got into the egg business years ago, almost by accident. Now, he was a school teacher and wanted to show his students where chickens and our food come from. There's a commercial on TV right now about what came first, the chicken or the egg, and they end up sitting watching cable TV, but that has nothing to do with Pearl Valley. I visited Pearl Valley Eggs Farm, and it's fascinating to learn how they aerobically compost chicken manure and straw to create the organic Healthy Grow fertilizer, which is OMRI listed, O-M-R-I. It's very gentle stuff. I've used it. Great stuff. Pearl Valley Eggs and Healthy Grow fertilizer are sustainability in action. The chickens are raised on site, produce superior quality eggs, and then help create an organic fertilizer. You can't close the loop any better than that. Healthy Grow Lawn and Garden Food is available at garden centers throughout the Chicago area. And please insist on Pearl Valley Eggs where you shop. In fact, do a comparison between Pearl Valley Eggs and the ones you're buying now. I think you're going to be amazed by the quality of the Pearl Valley product. Food is essential to life. If you want a quality life, you need a quality food for you and your garden. Learn more about it at healthygrow.com. That's healthy, GRO.com. Tell them that Mike sent you.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Soil is the gift that keeps on giving, well, to your plants anyway, and therefore to you too. So give your soil some lovin' with Dr. Earth. Dr. Earth's probiotics, a soil inoculant, consists of soil bacteria and mycorrhizal fungi that break down organic materials, make nutrients available to your plants, and help suppress pathogens, which is a gift in disguise because that'll save you money. Doctor your earth with Dr. Earth, sold only at local independent garden centers. Go to DrEarth.com to find a dealer near you.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
I tell you why I can't find you. Every time I go out to your place, you gone fishing.
How you know?
Well, there's a sign upon your door.
Uh-huh.
Gone fishing.
I'm real gone, man.
You ain't working anymore.
Could be.
There's your hole out in the sun, where you left a row half done.
Oh, my goodness.
You claim that hoeing ain't no fun.
What do you know about gardening?
You ain't got no ambition. Gone fishing.
This is, gosh, that brings back
memories. Doesn't it, though?
Well, you don't understand that back when I was at Gargantua Radio down the dial, I used to come in and engineer the outdoor show at 6 a.m. on Saturdays, and this was the theme. And I would mess with it from time to time. I'd throw in.
This song reminds me of my dad. Loves to go fishing. My dad, my grandfather, my great-grandfather. So, I thought it was just a good dad song.
It is a great dad song. Especially, and, Crosby and Armstrong.
Satchmo, you can't go wrong. Yeah.
So, but it reminds me that I want to get a couple of messages out. First is Tom Shepard sent me this information about something going on Southside today. Heal the River. It's an interfaith day of prayer to heal and renew the environment. It's at the Cal-Sag Canal Waterfall in Blue Island, Illinois. What they're doing here, it's a day of action and prayer to save the environment. Now, as I said to Tom, I said, hey, I'm not a praying man. You know that. And he says every faith and persuasion, meaning none, meaning secular, meaning if you just care about the environment as well. They're going to meet at 4 p.m., this afternoon at the water reclamation station behind the Cal-Sag Canal in Blue Island, and then speak out against pollution and environmental destruction. They're also going to participate in rituals and prayer to bring spiritual healing and renewal to the natural world. And as they write here, all too many religious groups today deny or ignore the problem of global climate change. With this event, we're encouraging religious leaders to become more actively involved in the quest to care for and preserve the world that God created. You know, that's one of the, and one more thing they write is, this is not a strictly religious event. We invite secular environmentalists to come and speak out for the preservation of the natural environment. And that's the thing I don't get, is sometimes with religions why they don't do this more, to preach the gospel of protecting the planet. I think I understand why they don't sometimes, but it just seems that if we have a healthy planet, we have healthy people. And it's their fourth annual day of prayer to heal the river, renew the world. After they completed the work at the river, they'll be going to a reception at the Cornerstone Gallery at 13168 Old Western Avenue in Blue Island. So if you want to show up, 4 o'clock this afternoon, June 19th, Father's Day, at the water reclamation station behind the Cal-Sag Canal in Blue Island. Now, next week.
I cannot wait. I am so excited.
I'm scared, but that's me. No.
You're not scared.
No, I'm not. It's going to be fun. We are broadcasting the Mike Novak Show from the Center on Halsted along the parade route of the Chicago Pride Parade 2011. And then after that, of course. Now, what I was trying to figure out, we're on 9 to 11.
Yes.
When did Steph...
Noon to 3.
So what's on at 11?
I believe...
Oh, come on. Are you kidding me?
I don't know. We have to set everything up, but they need that hour to...
We'll have it set up for them. I just say slide into the chair.
I'm down with that, but that's not up to me.
It's time for your third hour.
You know what? Maybe we should do the third hour. Mike Novak, hour live.
I'm the one who has to be here tomorrow morning and deal with this. So
I'm thinking Mike Novak, third hour live. Yeah.
I mean,
who needs Meet the Press? They're just going to have Newt Gingrich out again and explain.
Wouldn't that be a wonderful segue, go from Newt to the Pride Parade? Come on.
Ah, boy.
Send him running screaming.
That'd be nice.
I'd like that.
But we have to Greece, maybe, for another vacation?
Yes.
Is that it?
But from 9 to 11, we'll be doing our show live, and then at noon to 3, we will be joining our very own sexy liberals, Stephanie Miller, Hal Sparks, and John Fugelsang, and they will be in the booth, and you and I will be on wireless mics running through the parade route.
Well, that's what we're trying to find out right now. So I hope the powers that be are listening, because, you know, they said, well, you're going to be in the van. I said, no, we're not. We're getting out of the van.
We'll be
I want
to
get in the microphone.
Next to the van, in and out. It's live radio in the Pride Parade. Anything can
I mean,
happen.
They said, well, you know, well, the van will be in line. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to down to Halsted and Diversey and wait for my turn.
Yeah, no, it'll sit there for a long time. They're like, this will be my fourth Pride Parade.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. It's so much fun. And yeah, the van will be part of the parade itself, along with all the floats and the other guests and and the spectacle. And then you and I will either be hovering around the center on Halsted within a few blocks radius
that's
as everything goes by, or stuck with the van.
No,
it depends on what our range is.
I can tell you right now, I'm not getting stuck with the van. Okay.
There's air conditioning in the van. You may take that back.
Well, that's possible, but I'm planning to. Hey, I'm planning to dress comfortably. All right.
I intend on dressing comfortably as well. However, it's either going to be raining or hot. That's generally the way it goes.
Oh no, it's going to be perfect.
I want it to be perfect. I want it to be a gorgeous, beautiful summer day in Chicago, so we can all have a wonderful time showing our true colors.
That's what I'm sure. So, it's not like I have to invite people to come down, because it's probably going to be 400,000 people down there.
Oh, it's going to be a hoot. I can't wait.
And but I do encourage you to listen, not only to the Mike Novak Show next week from 9 to 11, but of course starting at noon, and Stefan and John Fugelsang and Hal Sparks will be on, and Heather and I will be, I don't know how often they're going to let us jump in, but if we see interesting enough stuff, I think perhaps that, oh, and we got some great guests on our show.
Yes, we do. I don't know how much of it will be gardening motivated next
Sunday. Yeah, that's the other thing. be prepared to have us veer off of gardening a little bit. But tell us who you scored for us there.
We have confirmed an interview with Illinois State Representative Mr. Greg Harris, the co-author and main leader of the Civil Unions Bill.
Which is awesome.
It's just fantastic.
I have gotten Tracy Baim, who's the publisher and executive director of Windy City Media Group, which produces the Windy City Times. And she will be on the program as well. I'm going to see if I can get her to talk. I don't know, environment, something. If not,
recycle your paper. At least
exactly.
That. Recycle your Windy City Times when you're done reading it cover to cover.
We're actually working to try to get, and I know this is anathema on the south side here, but to get the Chicago Cubs.
The spokesperson.
Spokesperson. Yeah, not the whole team.
Yeah, no. If we get the whole team.
The whole team will be on the show. No, we're getting a spokesperson from the Chicago Cubs because they are about to shoot a video for It Gets Better, which I think is really cool. So I want to talk about that and what they plan to do.
And they do have a float in the parade every year, too. I think they've had one in the last 3 years, at least two. Mm-hmm. The Chicago Cubs do have a Pride Day parade float.
So Fred Newsom, of course, will be there piloting the van.
Yes. Intrepid Fred.
You know, my feeling about the van, all right, yeah, I understand being part of that, and when it gets close to the stand where we are, then I'll hop on. But I'm not going down 2 miles and wait. You know, we're going to be out there roaming.
It's all preliminary. A lot of people who are in the staging and planning don't really get how it launches. So again, it's all in the works. And where you and I will be, but
easy
to find.
What you're saying is that, like the Mike Novak Show in general, we're winging it. It seems to be some of that going on.
Kinda. We've got things booked. It's not like we're just like, oh, here, be our guest, and just drag him into the studio.
Mark Munger, are you coming down? Or are you just going to stay as far away as you possibly can and listen on the radio?
I want to come down. How could I miss this?
You're right. And we're going to need a documentary. Documenting of this, so I'll hand you the
photographs
camera.
Photographs and videotape.
All right,
the whole
fantastic.
Nine yards.
The young punk, Mr. Munger, will be there.
I'll bring my plastic bags.
And throw them on the street.
Yeah.
And your paper coffee house mugs that you'll just throw in the street.
I'm just going to bring my trash.
All right, well, we'll see you next week on the Mike Novak Show. Until then, go green or
go home. Happy Father's Day.